910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, New Orleans Attack. I'm Dave Packer. Bourbon Street has reopened after the New Year's Day attack in New Orleans, and it's now believed the killer acted alone.
In a dramatic about-face, investigators now believe the man who drove a pickup truck into a crowd of New Year's Eve celebrants on Bourbon Street did not have an accomplice. But FBI Deputy Assistant Director Christopher Reyes says,
"What I can tell you right now is that he was 100% inspired by ISIS."
Which accounts for the black ISIS flag flying from his rented pickup truck as Shamsuddin Jabbar plowed into a crowd of people before he was shot dead by police. Jim Ryan, ABC News, New Orleans.
Today, more than 1,000 law enforcement officers poring over data, including surveillance interviews and video posted online. The FBI says Jabbar drove from Houston to New Orleans on Tuesday evening and posted several videos proclaiming his support for ISIS and mentioning he joined ISIS before this summer. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is sharing helpful tips for safe winter driving month. DOT officials are reminding residents to drive at reasonable speeds for current road conditions, give snowplows extra space to work on clearing the roads, and prepare for a long trip ahead of time by checking road conditions, fully charging your phone, and keeping an emergency kit in the car. According to DOT data, there were over 11,000 crashes in Wisconsin last winter where weather conditions were cited as a contributing factor. Energy experts say Wisconsin is expected to see an over $4 billion investment in clean energy projects over the coming years. A number of long-term energy projects are planned in the Midwest that will either be completely or partially located in Wisconsin. One of those projects includes the construction of long-range transmission lines for transporting clean energy. Experts say the construction on the projects alone could support thousands of jobs, and when completed, they could produce over 6.5 gigawatts of clean energy. A Stanley man will be bound over for trial after being accused of strangling a Rice Lake woman in her apartment. According to court documents, 18-year-old Trenton Schutz is facing multiple charges, including felony strangulation and bail jumping, as well as misdemeanor battery and disorderly conduct. Schutz was charged on December 18th in the Barron County Circuit Court and is facing up to 6 years in prison and a $10,000 fine if convicted. He also faces separate charges in Eau Claire County for aggravated battery and bail jumping. An Amory man was killed in a head-on collision near Taylor Falls this week. According to the Minnesota State Patrol, 59-year-old Thomas Collins was killed on Monday when his vehicle crossed over the center line on Highway 8 and collided with a car driven by a Minnesota woman head-on. A passenger in the Minnesota woman's car was also killed in the collision, and the driver was taken to Regents Hospital in critical condition. Law enforcement authorities say that alcohol was not a factor in the crash, but wet road conditions may have been. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Three Packers named to the Pro Bowl. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NFL says three Packers players selected for the Pro Bowl, two of them signed with the team this year in free agency. It's safety Xavier McKinney, running back Josh Jacobs. The third is defensive end Rashawn Gary, the Packers' top defensive back. Jair Alexander had to have surgery on his right knee and is now out for the rest of the season. This will mean more snaps for second-year man Carrington Valentine.
This is his next man mentality, honestly. You know, it sucks, but play football. Injuries happen. You know, you got to keep going.
The Packers host the Bears Sunday. Quarterback Caleb Williams was asked what he thought about his former assistant coach at USC, Cliff Kingsbury, as a candidate for the next head coach of the Bears.
Yeah, I'd say I've been around Cliff. I know what type of guy he is. I know that he loves football. I know that he wants to win. He's a competitor. I've been around him, so asking him questions and things like that, I think, obviously, if he was here, I'd probably have more to say.
That's Bears quarterback Caleb Williams with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy with light snow on and off throughout the day. High temperatures hit the upper teens and winds are feisty, slapping wind chills where it feels anywhere from 10 to 15 degrees cooler. A trace to a half an inch of snowfall is possible with it blowing and drifting around throughout the day and the weekend. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 15 degrees.
Matt and Air on Air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question. Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
It's Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources, just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family, because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special TGIF edition of the show. Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, will be here with a humorous look at the week in review. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am not Maggie Dawn. I am guest hosting for Maggie Dawn today on the Maggie Dawn Show. My name is Dan Schaefer. Thank you all so much for joining us this afternoon. We're so glad you could be with us across the Civic Media Network. For those of you who might not know me and my work, I am a regular guest here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I am also the founder of the Recombobulation Area, a weekly opinion column and online publication covering news and politics in Milwaukee and Wisconsin. Go check it out. Go subscribe. We got lots of good stuff on there. And today we are thrilled to be joined for the entirety of the show as our guest co-host, Angela Lang, the Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. Angela, thank you so much for being here.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I'm also excited to like guest co-host with you. Normally it's with Matt. So it's like, this will be fun.
Yeah, we're mixing it up.
Yeah.
We're mixing it up. Absolutely. And you're joining us in studio.
In studio.
Here in Racine.
Yeah.
We're thrilled to have you here. If any of you out there in our listening audience would like to join the conversation, give us a call. Shoot us a text. 855-752-4842 is the number. We're also streaming live on YouTube and Facebook and the platform formerly known as Twitter.com. So send us your tweets, send us your comments. We'll be reacting to those throughout the show as well. Once again, I am your guest co-host today. My name is Dan Schaefer. I'm here with Angela Lang, the Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. We're thrilled to be here with you today. And once again, just for that number, so you can get in touch with us, give us a call, shoot us a text, 855-752-4842. We've got producer Cardi Glisper on the board here for us. Cardi, how are you doing back there?
I'm pretty good, man. I'm recombobulating from 2024 into 2025.
Yes.
I think we all need to. You know, I really lean into that word a lot.
It fits.
It fits for so many things. And I think, you know, after 2024 was a discombobulating year in so many ways.
I agree.
And we all need a little bit of recombobulation going into 2025 here. So that's what we hope to bring you on the broadcast here today, this afternoon, filling in for Maggie on the Maggie Dawn Show. So, Angela, we just had New Year's, just had the holidays. It was a busy stretch. How'd you spend your time?
I spent my time with friends in a small town with less than 800 people in Illinois, in a cabin, basically. And it was a quiet New Year's. There was also a hot tub in the back, which was nice because it was cold. But it was the first year I didn't hear fireworks or gunshots or something. It was strangely quiet. And I think I was in bed by 1 a.m.
Wow. What, you know, this is New Year's at this stage of our lives.
I'm 35 right? yeah. now, but if you'd have seen my New Year's last year, you'd understand why I needed to do it low key this year.
Yeah. Well, so you went off the grid basically.
Basically. Yeah.
Just hung out in the hot tub with the Airbnb.
Yep.
Hanging out.
We did a puzzle. There were multiple puzzles. I tapped out, but somebody stayed up to like 5 a.m. to finish the dang puzzle. And I'm like, I can't. But that's what we did.
That's some hardcore.
We did puzzles. We had matching pajamas.
Oh, that's terrific.
And we cooked. But it was very wholesome and so great.
That's great. That's great.
How about you?
So since I have kids, yeah. I don't really go out and do the New Year's mm-hmm. party thing. Haven't done that in quite some time. But we had another family over for New Year's Eve to, you know, bring their kids and get everybody together nice. And like do that kind of deal. And I have a tradition now that I always make some seafood.
Okay.
I love seafood.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
one of my favorite types of food. I'm a big seafood guy. So yeah. when I lived in Seattle, I lived in Seattle for like a year.
Okay.
And yeah. I was like, all right, I got to find some sort of seafood dish that I can make.
Mm-hmm.
And so while I was out there, there was always, and my office was really close to the fish market
yeah,
that you always
yeah,
see.
Yeah.
And so they always had different sales and stuff. So I was like, all right, I'm going to pick up some clams and learn how to make some clams. That seems like a good place to
yeah,
start.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I learned how to make linguine with clams.
Nice.
And so now I make that every year on New Year's and go back and, you know, use the seafood cooking experience that I got in Seattle there. And so made linguine with clams. I've added some crab legs to it for the last couple of years too. So do like a big seafood dinner.
Yeah.
For my wife and my friends. And
I love that.
We get together and I go all out for it.
That's
and,
nice. I like that tradition.
And so we get everybody together, you know, see how long the kids can last.
yeah.
This year they lasted. My daughter lasted till almost 10 p.m.
Okay.
10 p.m., which is pretty good.
Okay.
And then the adults did make it past New Year's this year.
Good.
past
good. 12 this year. Because sometimes, I mean, the older you get, sometimes I bought Red Bull just in case we needed it.
Yeah.
We didn't need it.
See, I'm a night person generally.
Yeah.
So I'm usually up, you know, not
sure.
that, you know, it's not like a huge stretch for me to make it to midnight.
Fair.
I'm a night person as it is. My wife less so. So
yeah.
it was
yeah.
like, you know, she had to make it there. But we had some friends over. We played some cards. We were
nice.
Cracking jokes about like the Ryan Seacrest broadcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was
yeah.
going on.
Yeah.
You know, just had a good time. Rang in the new year.
Do you ever watch the CNN broadcast?
So I always just end up seeing that in
the clips online.
With
yeah,
Anderson
no, same.
Cooper and who's the other guy?
Andy Cohen.
Andy Cohen. They like to have a couple shots. And,
a couple.
Yeah.
It's yeah. I didn't watch it this year. We barely watched the TV, but like I saw all like the viral clips and like every year there's always like an anti Eric Adams, mayor of New York rant.
Sure.
The clips this year are like, wow. I think this sums up 2024. It was a little bit of a mess, but it was very entertaining.
Entertaining mess.
Yeah.
That I think we're all glad to turn the page on.
Seriously.
In a lot of ways.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So if you're, let us know out there. How did you spend your New Year's? Let us know in the comments. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. 855-752-4842. Cardi, what'd you do on your New Year's?
Well, for my New Year's, let's recap. Let's see if I can remember. I worked. I was here.
okay. Fair.
I was here. But for New Year's Eve, I spent time with family. I'm not going to lie. I spent time with family. My kids, we had kids wine or
Ooh.
Kids champagne for them.
Do you like the sparkling grape juice?
Yeah. Welch's. Yeah. So, yeah, they had a good time with that. My daughter was the only one that wasn't awake for it. But my youngest, who is 4 months, will be 5 months, my birthday on January 16th. Decided to stay up the whole night. So he didn't go to sleep. I didn't go to bed.
He's got a real partier.
Yeah. So yeah, we got a Leo edition. So he's he's a little feisty. He stays about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. We were up to with him. So yeah.
Wow.
Well, I'm sure at that age, you got a lot of late nights.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we all had a good New Year's and
celebrated
in our own ways. Here,
right.
And you know, it's good to have some traditions with that. Good to try some new things as well.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So Angela, you published a piece today at the Recombobulation Area.
Sure did.
We're gonna be talking about that a little bit over the course of the show here today. So if you want to check that one out, it is at the recombobulationarea.news, where Angela wrote a piece with the headline, "Where do we go from here?" So I think that's going to be kind of one of the themes that we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah.
As we turn the page, our first live show for the Maggie Don Show of 2025. Yeah. We're looking ahead to what things are going to be in the second Trump term. And so go check that one out. We're going to be talking about that a little bit more as we get into the next hour of the show here. So, you know, I think the one quote that I pulled out here that you wrote, we can be frustrated and still see the humanity in each other. We can feel lost on the next steps of organizing and still be committed to showing up. So do check that one out. We're going to be talking about that one. Yeah, good words.
I know, sometimes I'm like, yeah, I wrote that.
Yeah, you did. It was a great piece. So check that one out. It's at the Recombobulation area right now. Would love your thoughts out there in the Maggie Don Show listening audience of what you think about that piece and what you're thinking about as we turn the page on the calendar into 2025 and what that's going to mean when Donald Trump is president once again. It's not that far off.
Nope. It's only just in a few weeks.
It's a couple weeks. Yeah. Things move fast.
What is time? That's also a thing. Like, I don't know what time is either.
Yeah. That's part of the holidays, too, because you get lost in not just like, oh, we're planning for Christmas, planning for New Year's. You just get lost in this, like,
I have no idea what day it is. I just knew I needed to be here, but I was like, what day is it? Oh, okay, it's Thursday.
And then we got the midweek holidays this year, and that's, I think, throwing everybody off a little bit. You know, you have Christmas and New Year's on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's messing with people because you got to come back for Thursday and Friday, and then it's a short week, and then you're back on the weekend, and it's a weird time.
Yeah.
It's a weird time.
That's why we just take off. I don't go back to work until the 13th.
Yeah, that's it. Well, you're hanging out here. So,
I am.
So you're still kind
of
working.
No, but I choose to do this. That's the thing. It doesn't feel like work. So, yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good. Well, we're going to be talking about that piece from Angela. I wanted to talk to you first. We only got a couple minutes before the break. So I'll set this one up before the break here, and then maybe we can come back and talk about it a little bit more. But some of the political news today, Senator Chuck Schumer has endorsed Ben Wickler to be the DNC chair. So not surprised that Wickler running out of the gate, but he always is very smart about timing announcements.
Yeah.
And to get people right back from New Year's.
He knows. He
got that announcement in Politico with the Chuck Schumer endorsement right off the bat. Here.
Skilled organizer,
skilled communicator.
Yes.
You know, we've both, you know, interacted with Ben a whole lot over the last few years as he's been the party chair in Wisconsin. So I guess my question about this, though, and we'll get into a little bit more after the break. Is this a good thing? Is it a good thing to have the endorsement of of Chuck Schumer, who, you know, all things about him as an individual aside, but just like having the endorsement of somebody who is part of the Democratic establishment?
And
it's
what
not
he
about
represents,
whether it is Chuck Schumer or Nancy Pelosi or whoever it might be, about having an endorsement at this moment for the Democratic Party from somebody who is part of the Democratic establishment and has been part of, I don't know, some losses
some
over
things.
The years.
Yeah.
And so we'll get a little bit further into that. But in the statement to Politico, Schumer called Wickler a tenacious organizer and proven fundraiser. Politico reported that Schumer is currently the highest ranking Democrat to weigh in on the race. It's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out. But obviously a well-timed endorsement.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, Ben Wickler, smart way of getting himself into the news cycle as people, you know, return to the office, get back into things. You are listening to The Maggie Don Show. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am your guest host today. I am here with Angela Lang. She is my guest co-host today. And we will be right back after the break. Stick with us. Keep on running, cause the winner
don't quit on themselves. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avacin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am not Maggie Dawn. I am Dan Schaefer. I am your guest host on the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. With me here in studio, live from Racine, Wisconsin, is Angela Lang, the Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. She is here as my guest host for the full show today, Angela.
Yeah.
How about that?
It'll be a good time. A
lot of recombobulating.
Yes. We're doing.
Angela is a regular contributor at the Recombobulation Era, award-winning contributor from the Recombobulation Era. She won a Milwaukee Press Club Award for her work here. So do check out when she writes. You always got to read when Angela writes. For the reason
I'm just grateful. I'm grateful to have a platform, and I'm grateful that people read whatever comes out of my head sometimes.
Well, you wrote a great piece today, and what came out of your head today is a good one.
It works somehow.
It works. It comes together. We recombobulate it all together.
Yes.
That's right. So check out that piece right now at the Recombobulation Area. The headline is, "Where do we go from here?" I think that's a question a lot of us are asking as we turn the calendar to 2025, as we get ready for a second Trump term. As we get ready for a whole lot of things that 2025 has for us, that's kind of the
deep sigh.
It's just the vibe that I have right now as we recombobulate into 2025 too. It's just a lot of all right. Here we go.
Yeah.
Got to get after it.
Who knows?
Before the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the political news of the day about Wisconsin Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler had a big endorsement today. Senate Majority Leader, I think he's only Senate Majority Leader for like another few days, but Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is supporting Ben Wickler in his effort to lead the party on a national stage. My question about that at the moment is this a good thing? If you're Ben Wickler and you're running for DNC chair, do you want the support of some of the more establishment voices? Now, I'm not saying anything that, like, you know, if making value judgments on Chuck Schumer as an individual,
sure,
about like where he is standing on. Obviously, he's a prominent member of the party. Getting endorsement of the prominent member of the party is a big deal. But if you're Ben Wickler, do you want more of an outsider appeal at this point?
Yeah, you know, I'm very curious to see what other endorsements Ben has up his sleeve. I know that this won't be the last, right? And you know, really just sitting on this question, like, is this a good thing? I think it's interesting that, like, who he's like speaking to and who he's campaigning to, right? Mm-hmm. So like, there are probably some of my lefty friends that won't like that, given, you know, some of their qualms and criticisms of Schumer, right? But the lefty folks are not going to be voting in the next DNC chair. Right. You know what I mean? And so
people who are always, you know, critical of the Democratic Party, they're not the people voting on this.
Exactly.
Right?
And, yeah. you know, the people that are going to be voting and, you know, talking about this like insider baseball are the more establishment types. Mm-hmm. And so I think from a strategy sense, and I think Ben would agree, and I think this is partly what he's doing is, yes, you want to have some of those like big players in the establishment because like that's the realm and the environment that you're operating in. But I'd be curious to see how Ben balances that with his more progressive, I think, stances too, right? And I think I can't help but to think of the campaign, right? When I'm not saying that Chuck Schumer is Liz Cheney. I'm not saying that at all, right? Mm-hmm. But like, is there going to be a counter? Is there going to be a balance? Is it going to have, you know, a progressive person? Is what happens if like, say Maurice Mitchell, for example, from the National Working Families Party also endorses, right? Like, mm-hmm. what does that mean? And so I think that Ben will probably have something else to quote unquote, balance it out a little bit. Yeah. But I think it's strategic for what he's trying to do, given the arena that he's playing in right now.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And I think, you know, there was some signaling early on in this from some of the members of the Progressive Caucus saying that mm-hmm. they were interested in somebody like Ben Wickler,
yeah.
I think was the statement from Representative Jayapal,
yep.
Who's head of the Progressive Caucus. So I think that wanting to have, and I think that's what the message that I think Wickler is putting out there
yeah.
in the piece that I wrote about a month or two ago now about how Wickler could be this quote unquote Goldilocks
yeah.
candidate.
Yep. Yep.
And that was a quote from one of the sources that I was talking to in Wisconsin on that story. And they were telling me that, you know, Wickler is liked by both progressives
yeah.
and centrists.
Yeah.
He's liked by both the grassroots organizers and the big dollar donors. Like he can be a lot of things to a lot of people, but I do wonder if you want to be out there front and center
yeah.
with an establishment name like this,
especially right now,
And especially considering who I guess his opponent would be in this race. Ken Martin.
Yeah.
Is the, you know, the Minnesota Dem chair. He's been kind of more like, He's a member of the DNC. He's
yeah.
been planning this for a while.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not, you know, he's done some great things in Minnesota as mm-hmm. well. They've had some real success there. But I think he has been kind of seen as the more establishment candidate.
Sure.
And Wickler has been seen as the more of just like the change maker, somebody mm-hmm. who has brought a different approach to Wisconsin. You know, he gave a great interview on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart
yeah.
talking
yeah.
about how he wanted to do things differently and how he has done things differently in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So I just wonder if that is, you know, and I think Chuck Schumer's strategy, you know, the famous quote, I'm trying to pull it up here. I'm not finding it out. Google's worse now, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So the strategy, and I'm going to botch the quote, but it's just like every vote we lose in, you know, a rural district, mm. we're going to pick up two votes in a suburban district.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that strategy has been kind of damaging
yeah.
for Democrats
Agreed.
Over the past 8 years. And just look at what's happened with, you know, Donald Trump winning again
yeah.
And the Republicans taking the House 2 years ago and taking the Senate now. And,
mm-hmm.
and I think you're looking at this like 8 year run for when Trump, you know, became the dominant political figure in the country.
Yeah.
And the Democrats pushing back on that. Schumer has been part of that every
yeah.
step of the way.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you necessarily want somebody like that
sure.
or if you want to turn the page. And
yeah.
I think that's what a lot of people, you know, are recognizing that in Democratic circles, they have a difficult time
turning
the
page
in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And I think that has led to a lot of real problems.
Agreed.
Most notably, you know, losing this last election.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think Ben, and I think it's easier for me to say those things because I'm like, I've worked with him. I've seen him. I know
yeah.
his values. But I think that, you know, from outside looking in, if you're not in the weeds and you don't know him, there could be a lot of assumptions that are made from that endorsement, I think.
Yeah. Either way, he's back in the news.
Yep.
Ben's back in the news. He knows how to get himself
he
back
knows.
In the news. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I am your guest host this afternoon. My name is Dan Schaefer. I'm here with my guest co-host, Angela Lang. We're going to be with you for the rest of the afternoon here on The Maggie Dawn Show. Give us a call. Shoot us a text, 855-752-4842. We're going to be headed to a break right now, but stick with us. We'll be right back. Couldn't afford a car, so she named her daughter Alexis. Yeah, it's been so long that
had it look like weave. Then she cut it all off, now she look like Eve. And she be dealing with some issues that you can't believe. Single black female addicted to retail as well.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Election 2024 is behind us, and some new faces are taking over leadership on the House and Senate Ag Committees. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and Sam Kiefer, Vice President of Public Policy for the American Farm Bureau Federation, says the four leaders of the committees have a wealth of experience.
The House Ag Committee Chairman is Glenn G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania. He's well-established. New ranking committee member, Angie Craig from Minnesota. New, but not inexperienced. On the Senate side, John Bozeman from Arkansas takes over as the committee chairman. He's been serving as a leading Republican for a while. And joining him from the other side of the aisle is Senator Amy Klobuchar from the Democrats. Again, new to her post, not new to Congress, not new to the Ag Committee.
That's Sam Kiefer, Vice President of Public Policy for the American Farm Bureau Federation, along with us. I'll have more news right after this.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your agribusiness news. Joshua Gonzalez, a second grade teacher and agriculture committee chairman at River Trail School of Agricultural Science in Milwaukee Public Schools, has been named the 2024 Wisconsin Outstanding Teacher by the Wisconsin Agriculture in the Classroom program. Gonzalez's passion for agricultural literacy stems from personal experience and a vision to transform urban education. Reflecting on the pandemic's impact on food access, Gonzalez recalled his grandparents' backyard fruit trees in Puerto Rico, where neighbors shared harvests to support one another. Inspired by this memory, he now equips students to address food deserts and build sustainable, healthy communities through urban agriculture. You can learn more about this as well as find other agriculture news stories at MidwestFarmReport.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for our e-newsletter as you'll receive stories delivered to your inbox every day. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy with light snow on and off throughout the day. High temperatures hit the upper teens and winds are feisty, slapping wind chills where it feels anywhere from 10 to 15 degrees cooler. A trace to a half an inch of snowfall is possible with it blowing and drifting around throughout the day and the weekend. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Currently, it's 15 degrees.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, hard to believe the one-year anniversary of Matinair on Air. We're going to celebrate and wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm your guest host this afternoon. My name is Dan Schaefer. I'm the founder of the Recombobulation Area and the political editor here at Civic Media. Thank you all so much for joining us this afternoon. I'm joined in studio today by a co-host, Angela Lang, Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. And Angela just wrote a terrific piece for us at the Recombobulation Area, where she has been a regular contributor for quite some time. The question she asks in the headline of this piece, and I think it's a question that a lot of us are asking as we turn the page from 2024 to 2025, the headline, where do we go from here? Yeah. So, Angela, give us all of the answers.
All of the answers.
All of the answers. Where do we go from here as we are in this like liminal space between the election and the inauguration, as we begin to turn the page and the end of the Biden presidency and the start of the Trump 2.0 years. So where do we go from here?
To be clear, I don't know. And I think what's funny too is when I'm writing, I don't always have a title in mind. I never have a title in mind, to be honest. And it's always like the last thing I do. I'll write whatever. And then I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. And I usually just
leave. And then we text back and forth about a headline.
I do a placeholder. And then I was like, Dan will help me work through this because all my creativity is dumped in in this piece.
Yeah.
And it was, where do we go? I just left that. And that was like the first thing that came to mind. But I think, a lot of us, I think, are still processing and trying to figure out, like, where do we go from here? And how this moment feels very different from 2016 in a lot of ways.
It definitely does. I think so many people in 2016 were so surprised and so jolted by the results of the election, by Donald Trump's victory, and just could not process the reality of it. And so people were just, sewing the hats and getting into the streets and like doing all of the things and being very vocal and writing a lot of very emotional Facebook posts and whatever it might be. But now it's a little bit different. I feel like people are maybe more turning inward now compared to 8 years ago, maybe doing some more, just things that taking care of their family and their friends and being with people and tuning out maybe a little bit, not from Civic Media.
Of course, never
from us.
Never.
Never from the Recombobulation Area.
Never.
But I think people are more turning a little bit inward than 8 years ago. And I think you captured that a little bit in the piece, too.
Yeah. I mean, I that's my assessment, too. And it's like also me and how I've been responding to this moment. And I've said this for a while of like being a Black woman that does political work in a swing state is like not always a good time, shocker. And it's not always fun, and it's like very emotionally draining, and it feels, the reporters, when they're in town covering stuff, they're like, oh, do you feel the weight on your shoulders? And they say it joking, and I'm like, yeah, I do. It's not fun.
Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah, right. And I'm like,
the weight on my shoulders.
Yeah. Thanks. And I joke around about it, but it's like real, at the same time. And so I think for me, and I talked about this a little bit, I danced very close to burnout so many times where I was like, I don't know if I could do this. Like, I feel like I'm hitting my head against a wall and like nothing's changing, nothing's happening except like I am running myself into the ground, right? But we're still seeing the environments, and it didn't feel that material conditions were changing. And I think a lot of my organizer friends across the country are like, I'm focused on living my life too. Mm-hmm. Like, how do we find joy in the midst of impending fascism? How are we taking care of our folks and protecting folks? So I think there was a lot of reflection turning inward of how can people also use their own allyship and their own privilege to show up for communities that may be targeted. And I think that's what we need. And conversely, there's a lot of feelings and there's a lot of emotions and there's a lot of frustration. And I get that as someone who tries not to let it show, but I got a lot of anger sometimes, right? Like, but we can't show up in ways of saying, well, I told you so. Or I've seen, oddly enough, on TikTok, I've seen trans folks that say that they proudly supported Trump. So do they no longer need protecting when Trump comes for them, right? And that just because you vote for someone, just because you voted for Trump, that doesn't make you any less marginalized. It doesn't make you any, you know, more safe from some of these attacks. And we can't filter through some of our own community members. Like, there's people, I'm sure, we all have cousins, family members. We all know somebody that maybe was misinformed, or we all know civics is not a thing. So people's like anger and frustration at whatever was happening in their day-to-day life was maybe taken out in an election that didn't really, you know, relate. How do we can't shame people for their lack of knowledge, understanding the rise in AI, the rise in mis and disinformation, how there's not really civics taught. So when people are frustrated at the government, they get mad at whoever they can see first. And sometimes that's the president when it's really your alderman. And so I think all of these things together kind of led to a perfect storm. And it is difficult. And I say this not trying to be some kumbaya, let's all just come together and hug it out. I'm not saying that in any way. Mm-hmm. But how do we protect folks in our community that are generally on our side, but maybe didn't show up the way we wanted them to?
Yeah. And I think that that's a point you spoke to in this piece, and I think is a really important one, where I've seen some of these posts out there, you know, about certain things, about, you know, whether it's like, oh, the tariffs are going to make prices go up, or there's going to be something about deportation, or there's going to be this, that, and the other. And it's just like, well, you get what you vote for, blah, blah, blah. I don't think that's the approach to take now or ever, really. And I really, you know, people are very emotional about the election.
Yeah, it's tempting.
And it is very tempting like get into that. But for me, it always goes back to I think more of the blame should go on the institution instead of the individual.
Absolutely.
And I think that is where I often try to return to with these types of questions. And you wrote it really well in the piece. And I'm just going to quote you directly to you sitting across from you here in the studio. So you wrote, "To be clear, I'm not saying our organizing and resistance is primarily focused on recruiting Republicans to our causes. It didn't work in the campaign and won't work now. But all the same, we can't say I won't help you because that's what you get for voting for him. I'm not saying it will be easy or that everyone is ready to do that. But if we actually want to build a multiracial democracy that works for everyone, that includes educating people in the true villains of this story, Trump, his allies, and the wealthy, not each other."
Yes.
That is such a good point. And I think that is, you know, as we turn this page on 2024, mm-hmm. look ahead to 2025, I think if people are going to take the approach of doing that, you get what you vote for, or blaming somebody or saying, I'm not going to help you because you are a Trump voter, that is a problem.
Yeah. And we risk losing those folks forever. And I think, you know, and I've talked to Ben about this, Ben Wakeler, is that when Democrats lose, you have to find more ways to bring people in, right? Because your numbers are dwindling. You don't have the numbers to win. So that means you need to find more people to persuade to align with you, or maybe they are naturally aligned with you, right? And so if we are going to continue this, well, you get what you vote for, you are no longer welcome here, you're not actually adding more people to your strategy to try and actually win in the future. And we've said this before, it's like, you can't be condescending to voters. You know, there's so much going on and flying at the same time. And as you said, we can put all of that on kind of like a broader concept of voter suppression and how that is impacted and that's received. And being able to take some time to be patient with folks, because like there are folks that were like, well, I felt like my life was better because I had those stimulus checks, or I had, you know, mm-hmm. the pandemic checks. And then when you tell them Trump didn't want those, he only wanted them later so he can put his name on them. It also was an act of Congress and he didn't want it at first. People don't know these things. You're working multiple jobs. You're picking up kids. You're taking care of your elderly parents or grandparents. You don't know some of those things that are in the weed, and they're doing the best that you can. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about that population of folks. I'm not talking about the people that like willfully know and are just choosing to not believe facts. That's a different group of people. And I think they should be treated in a different way. But that doesn't mean we don't have these conversations of how do we build a multiracial democracy with all of these perspectives. Because at the end of the day, there is some sort of values that we all align with, mm-hmm. whether that's family, being a Wisconsinite, what that means, whatever. And I think we need to do the very hard work of figuring out what that center of that Venn diagram is. And it's going to be very difficult.
Mm-hmm. And I think if Democrats are and should be wanting to be the big tent party to bring in a lot of different voices, you can't make decisions and shame people and make that tent smaller.
Right.
Right. You can't kick people out of the tent just because they did something a certain way. And I think when you're talking about, you know, people who are not in the weeds in politics and this kind of stuff, who are not living the day to day, who are not hosting civic media,
talking about it for 2 hours,
whatever it is, right? what those of us in the political science dork community will call the low propensity voters, people who don't necessarily vote in every election, vote for their common council rep or
their
vote
high
for
opportunity.
State assembly. High opportunity. Yeah, that's another way to put it. And I think, you know, Trump made a lot of overtures to that particular community. And I think there are a number of, you know, news stories that broke through, whether it was the debate against Biden or I think, you know, the assassination attempt, too. If you're only paying attention to politics very occasionally, you still definitely saw that.
Like a normal person.
Right.
Yeah.
Like a normal person, not lunatics like
not
us.
Like us.
Yeah, exactly. and so I think that, you know, that I think is what Republicans were really trying, and Trump specifically, not I think old school Republicans really didn't really do that kind of work.
Right.
But I think Trump specifically is reaching out to those low propensity voters, trying to make the Republican Party a bigger tent. You know, they never actually governed like that.
No,
you know,
not at all. So they make it clear. We just want your vote. I don't want anything else. I think Donald Trump actually said that at some point. Yeah. I just want your vote.
It sounds like something he would say.
I think he said it on a speech, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that is an important part of all of this,
and
recognizing, you know, the keeping people in the big tent and welcoming people in, and you're not going to be welcoming people in to build a multiracial democracy that works for everyone, like you said in the piece, if you're saying I'm not going to help you because you voted for somebody else.
Yeah, no.
And I think, you know, whether it's the type of policies that are, I don't know, universal health care increasing education funding or bringing things like in Minnesota, what Tim Walz did with the universal school lunches.
Yep.
We shouldn't have those types of policies that like only if you voted for Biden, only if you voted for Harris.
Yeah.
You know, it should be a universal type of thing. And I think that is so many of the policies of the Democratic Party that they should be advancing that, you know, we can do better for everyone, and not pick and choose and not cater to wealthy elites like the Republican Party does.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is that like we weren't born with the level of analysis that we have today. Mm-hmm. Right. Like no one ever was born like out the womb. These are my values and analysis. We've grown. We've seen things. We've been involved to have this particular analysis. And my job as an organizer is to get other people to do that. There's a lot of education in my job as an organizer to bring people along. And we always talk about you got to meet people where they're at and then you bring them along. Well, what if where people are at is that they made a mistake and voted for Trump because they were ill-informed?
Mm-hmm.
Then like all these things that we talk about in the off election season, like meeting people where they're at, sometimes where they're at is actually very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're going to do that, that's what we actually need to do. And I think it's interesting how people are talking about folks like on the general same side, whether it's left, Dem, whatever, right? Anyone generally on that side, kind of trying to do this thing where we're eating our own, like you're not good enough to be a part of whatever is next or this or that, when that's literally what they want us to do. That's literally what white supremacy and fascism does, is like while they're over here controlling and making our lives difficult, instead of us coming together, we're all on a sinking ship. And it's sinking. There's a hole. Mm-hmm. And instead of plugging the hole, we're blaming other people instead of actually trying to get out of the situation. And meanwhile, white supremacy and fascism is thriving.
Yeah. It's divide and conquer. Like
exactly.
You said, it's divide and conquer. It's not looking to aim. It's not looking to solve any problems, address any of the
classic
major issues.
Playbook.
It is divide and conquer. Absolutely. We're here with Angela Lang here, guest hosting the Maggie Dawn Show. The piece that we are talking about is one that Angela wrote and we published today at the Recombobulation Area. The headline is "Where Do We Go From Here?" And so we're going to continue talking about this after the break here. But I would encourage you all to go check it out. Take a look at the piece, "Where Do We Go From Here?" written by Angela Lang. She is the Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. She is also the co-host of this very program this afternoon here on the Maggie Dawn Show. So stick with us. We're going to be continuing to talk about that piece. If you have thoughts on it, if you have thoughts on where we go from here,
love to
more
hear
generally,
it.
We'd love to hear it. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And we We'll be right back. Stick with us here on the Civic Media Network.
Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As 2024 comes to a close, we're taking our annual look back at the year that was, recapping our most read, most listened to, and most impactful stories of the year. If you're new to learning about the recombobulation area, this would be a great place to start to see what we're all about. This year, we covered the RNC in Milwaukee and the DNC in Chicago and broke stories that made national news along the way. We wrote about the fight for fair maps and covered elections in the state legislature like no one else. I wrote opinion columns and feature stories and conducted extended sit-down interviews like one with Senator Tammy Baldwin. I hosted podcasts and radio shows and, of course, joined the Civic Media Network, where you've heard me all over the airwaves for the last few months. This last year was discombobulating at times, but we did our best to make sense of it all, and we've got a whole lot more recombobulation in store for the year ahead in 2025.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you, too, can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Todd Allbus Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to the Maggie Don Show. My name is Dan Schaefer. I'm your guest host this afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm here with Angela Lang. She is my co-host for this afternoon. We're talking about a piece that she just wrote at the Recombobulation Area with the headline, Where Do We Go From Here? So we're interested to know where you think we're going from here as well. Join us. Call or text 855-752-4842. And Cardi, you said we had somebody ready to join us on the line here.
Yes, we do. 1 second. Caller on the line.
All right, Dick from Madison, you're on the air.
Hey, it was also a great song by Chicago, Where Do We Go From Here?
Yeah.
A real good one. I think, this is personally where I think it's going after seeing what happened with the budget thing. They're overplaying their hand. I'm talking about the felon. I don't refer to him any other way than felon 47. Anyway, and the midterms are only 22 months away, correct? And they've got such a narrow margin. I just read an interesting article, and here's why I think they're going to have to be really careful how they play this stuff, is a lot of these red districts, these really good things that are happening that happen as a part of what Biden and Harris did, these Republicans in those districts don't want to just hack this all apart because it's creating all kinds of jobs in their districts. And they're going to be facing the voters in 22 short months, not 24. And, you know, I just can't help but think they just think they're going to slide in here, and proof of it was last week. I know it's going to be chaotic. It's not going to be pretty. But I think if we hang on until the midterms, we can make him into the ultimate lame duck in 2 years.
Yeah, thanks so much for the call. That's a great point. I mean, yeah. I do think it is interesting if you look at the national level, what's happening in Congress. It's a slim margin. Like, as much as it was a red wave year, It's a slim margin for Republicans in Congress. And you know, it, I think Todd was talking about this in the show before earlier this afternoon on the Alba show, was talking about the vote for Speaker, for Mike Johnson remaining as Speaker. And I think he'll win that vote. But I do wonder, just because of the margins. And I think, you know, there was that story. I'm blanking on the name, but there was a Republican congresswoman from Texas who has not been there for votes for like 6 months because she was in like dementia, a memory care facility. And so, you know, there, and I think because Matt Gaetz resigned, because Trump is appointing a couple members of Congress to his cabinet, like those margins are really
there's
slim
some shakeups,
right now. And so I think it's going to be really important for Democrats to be that. I don't want to use the word resistance. We're going to retire that one, from the last term. But to just be, you know, vocal against what Trump's agenda is going to be and hold firm against that in a lot of ways. Cardi, do we have another caller joining us to try to answer this question? Where do we go from here?
Let's go. Caller on the air.
Yeah. Hey, this is Tom from Los Angeles.
Hey, Tom.
Thanks for joining us, Tom.
Hi, guys. You bet. And enjoy the recombobulation emails and everything like that. So thank
you
guys.
And thanks for recombobulating. Thanks for subscribing.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. As you guys know, my biggest issue is money, getting money out of politics.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not going to happen right now, but I don't think it's a reason why we stop talking about it at all. And I think we have to talk about it every day, because everything that goes on goes back to this, whether it whatever issue it is. You know, all these politicians have, the Supreme Court has made, political bribery legal. And it's something we just need to talk about every day. I think also what we need to do is just look back, you know, 100 years ago, I guess, because I guess every 100 years, just different characters that, you know, where is our FDR? That's going to be the question. Mm-hmm. But I think after what happened yesterday, what I see is going to happen is we're going to see more vigilante terrorism. I see that the Republicans are going to want to privatize everything, such as the FBI. They've already done that kind of with SpaceX or Space Force versus, you know, NASA. I think we're going to see more of that. But I do think what's interesting, my dad was a history teacher and a football coach in Durand, Wisconsin.
So it was not Tim, not Tim Walz, not the football coach, history teacher.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. But he was the head of the Wisconsin High School Football Coaches Association. So that was pretty cool. But anyway, we come from a football family. But my dad always said to me that years ago in America that, you know, there has to be a balance between the rich, the middle class, and the poor, and the working poor. And when that stops happening, there will be a revolt from the bottom up and the middle out. And it's very interesting because I think of what is happening right now with what, again, I'd call vigilante terrorism. I think that's what we're seeing more and more of with the United Healthcare guy, with what, you know, potentially happened yesterday. Not saying that there people are, people know, as an example, they don't understand the whole thing maybe of Buckley versus Vallejo or First National Bank versus Bilotti or Citizens United, but they do know that something just isn't right. Yeah. And because of that, I guess just people will start, you know, taking not even just to the streets, because I don't even think the streets really matter as much, because all you have to do, like in the Wisconsin uprising, which is great.
Tom, we're coming up against the break here. I apologize for cutting you off, but always appreciate you calling into these shows and joining us here on the Civic Media Network. A lot of important points. And I think, you know, Angela wrote about this in a little bit in her piece, too, the class consciousness and awareness and how that's been growing over the years. So do check that one out as well at the Recombobulation Area. When we come back from the break to start the second hour of the show, we're going to be joined by Jeff Mandel of Law Forward. He recently wrote a piece as well at the Recombobulation population area, talking about the implications of the recent Act 10 decision, what that ruling means.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special TGIF edition of the show. Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, will be here with a humorous look at the week in review. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News New Orleans Attack. I'm Dave Packer. As the FBI searches for answers after the deadly New Orleans ramming attack, counterterror assistant deputy director Christopher Rea speaking directly to the loved ones of those who were killed and injured.
I want to send our deepest condolences to the victims of this horrific attack and their loved ones. 14 innocent victims were killed in this senseless attack, and at least 35 are injured.
Rea says federal authorities now believe the killer acted alone. Meanwhile, the Sugar Bowl college football game postponed yesterday after the attack to be played this afternoon. ESPN's Laura Rutledge.
Yesterday, both teams were sequestered at their hotels. Georgia had a shelter in place as soon as they realized what was going on and trying to gather more information. So they didn't allow any of their players, any of their staff, their personnel to leave their hotels.
And for those spectators going to the game today, they will be going through airport-level security. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly.